So here we are. Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I love touring the cutting edge of people's consciousness these days. And I'm very excited to bring you information about social activism and students and some of the people that make it happen. So welcome to the show, Rich Brown from Western Washington University. Tell us about who you are and what you're doing in this business.
Well, first, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy to meet you, actually.
My name is Rich Brown, and I am a professor of theater at Western Washington University up here in Bellingham, Washington. And my primary research area is devising new theater for the stage, which simply means collaboratively creating new work where you begin without a script. And for the last 14 years, I've been devising new works with our undergraduate students here at Western.
Wow. So is it always without a script? So it's like improv, is it?
Really all devising is a process of collaboratively creating new theater. So that doesn't have anything to necessarily do with methodology or aesthetics or styles. You can use a number of methodologies. Improvisation certainly could be one. There are many others that we employ, certainly in the work that we do up here at Western. And in terms of style or aesthetics or genre, you can devise a new musical, devise a straight play, kitchen sink drama, if you will, an absurdist piece, a physical theater piece, you name it. So the idea of devising is simply that it is a process of collaboratively creating new theater that begins without a script.
Ah, well, I've had one experience because of a family connection with Barbara McAdam. I came to see.
Are you talking about the show that we're currently working on now?
Exactly. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you saw the work in progress showing that was part of Western Summer Theater this past August, where we did a 2-week workshop to start to devise, create the show. So Barbara Fitz McAdams, who is one of the founding members of Tectonic Theater Project and the company that I wrote my dissertation on. Back in 2003, so now 16 years ago, and have maintained contacts with that company and collaborated with them before on other devised works. There's an opportunity for Barbara and her other co-founding company member from Tectonic, Jimmy Mays, had reached out because they were wanting to create or work on this new project called Here To, hashtag Here To, which is this idea that gun violence happens everywhere. It can happen here as well as anywhere else. And they're specifically interested in all of the youth activists that have sprung up around the gun violence epidemic that's happening in our schools. So really the objective of this project, and it's a national theater project, is to amplify the voices of young gun activists.
Well, let's use some of the examples of it. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I get excited because it's so powerful. And the idea you said to use the voices, I was so blown away by the fact that it was like a stark setting, right? There wasn't anything fancy there. Mm-hmm. And as the people or the kids acted out as if they had been in a room where other people were shot, and then they used words that came from someone else that they were, maybe you could explain that. It was just a really empowering tool.
Sure. Tectonic Theater Project is known most widely for their piece called The Laramie Project, which was at one time the most produced play in America for a number of years running. And that was the story of Matthew Shepard's murder. He was a student at the University of Wyoming.
That was amazing.
And part of what Tectonic did there, was develop their process that they call moment work that oftentimes includes, not always, but often includes interviewing people and kind of getting their verbatim text and using that text as part of the storytelling technique. So for Here Too, the project we're working on, Barbara and Jimmy had done a bunch of collecting interviews nationally. So material from different youth activists, not just from March for Our Lives, but from all these other different organizations that have popped up across the country. So they brought some of that interview text, and then this is a national theater project. So we're doing the West Coast premiere here at Western Washington University. The East Coast premiere will happen at Penn State University. And then the idea is
Barbara and Jimmy will take all this work and create kind of one final script that then will be produced in New York and then be available for high schools, colleges, professional theaters around the whole country to produce.
Well, so let me ask you this. Let me ask you this one question, which is, I know it's collaborative and it's innovative and it's happening in the moment, but will it be carried intact around the country, or are you going to bring other voices in from around the country as it travels? You see what I mean? Is it a living script?
Right. That's what that's just what I was getting to. So there'll be a national script because this is a national epidemic, but also part of the goal of the project is to bring out and amplify the voices of activists in the local area. So it's called Here Too, Stories of Gun Violence, Stories of Youth Activists. So part of our work then was identifying some victims of gun violence in our local area around Bellingham, and also youth activists in this area. So we also then did additional interviewing and collected more text, so that within the national story, there's also a real big push on the local story. So for example, when Penn State does their East Coast premiere, they'll focus on some local stories around the area of Penn State, Pennsylvania. So the script will kind of be a final script, but it'll have these different sections that focuses on regional and local activism as part of the bigger national theater project.
And as you said, that some of the interviews or some of the words that came from, for example, students that had been caught in these incredibly dramatic situations, those words were captured and used in the mouths of the actors, right?
Correct. So one of our company members had a friend who had gone to school at Pilchuck High School down in Maryville, Washington. So she reached out and interviewed that student and another student who were there at the high school during that shooting. And then another one of our company members reached out to a local teenager. She was a senior in high school then. Now she's going off to college, but a youth activist here in Bellingham named Maggie, who started a new group here called Students for Action, and ended up raising about $30,000 and taking a group of students to the March for Our Lives National March in D.C., and has a strong organization formed now here in Bellingham. So we are also reaching out and interviewing those youth activists, those victims of gun violence, and bringing their stories into our production of Here To-WWU.
And so is it necessarily a part of Western Washington, or is it just collaborating with Western Washington, or is it a part of the drama and theater?
It's absolutely part of it. So we're premiering, we open next weekend, and it's the first show of our main stage season. So these are all company members who are our current students here at Western Washington University in the theater and dance department.
Wonderful. Well, I'm coming on over. Tell us before I release you, because we're going to be talking to Becca next, who's more of a representative of the student body, I think. But she's what? I'm sorry.
She's one of the company members in the show. So she's a performer, but it's in this process of devising new work together. All the company members have worked as writers and movement choreographers and designers and dramaturgs as we've put this whole piece together.
Wow. And how do you feel about it? Do you feel like the students are being more and more activated by doing this kind of thing, feeling more expression?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially this company, a major part of the work that they've done is we've actively gone out and participated in rallies and demonstrations. And for our performances, we broke the whole company after our workshop this summer into smaller teams. Some of us were working on rewrites on the script. Some of us were working on gathering additional information for the script, but others were working on activism. So for instance, the local Moms Demand Action from Whatcom County are coming to our performances, and they'll be tabling there, and we're holding talkbacks after the shows. On our closing day, which is November 2nd, we have a whole day of activism that will be led by the company in terms of letter writings to our senators, phone calling to senators, writing letters to the editors, et cetera, et cetera. So, and these students are already talking to our associated student group, the legislative outreach here on campus, about participating in Lobby Day coming up this winter in January, and continuing their now personal
gun activists, youth activism about this issue well beyond the production of this play.
Wow. So there is a goal in this group, amongst this group, there is a goal besides brilliant theater, which I really found it was brilliant when I watched that other trial show.
No, thank you. Yeah, the goal is, again, to amplify the voices of youth activism so more and more people become aware of what's actually happening in our schools in terms of lockdown drills and the damage that these shootings are causing, and to hear the young voices of our country being added to the cultural conversation about common sense gun control so that our students can go and be educated and not be terrified for their lives.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. It makes, I'm a grandmother, however, it makes me feel like it's possible to be involved.
Yeah.
And so good, yeah. Good, so on this. Go ahead.
I was going to say one of the company's goals, these college students' goals, was that everyone leaves the performance with some new information. So we did tons of research, and I've learned a lot about, you know, there's a whole array of products that are now being sold to protect our children during shootings. You know, they're building high schools now with curved walls because straight hallways are good for high capacity assault weapons as opposed to curved walls. They're building bulletproof backpacks. They're now selling, like, you know, in kindergarten when you have the napping pad, now
sure.
They're bulletproof nap pads.
Oh, you're
that's
kidding. Wow.
There are just things that I think most people don't know are happening.
And they're being innovative all over the country.
Yeah, and telling the story this way is that people, you're in the room with these living, breathing characters, so you empathize with them and experience what they're experiencing, so you understand this issue on a deeper level than just picking it up in the newspaper or hearing it on the news.
Wow, I'm very excited about Friday night. I'm coming in on Friday night, and I'll perhaps talk to you a little later after we've spoken to Becca. If that would be interesting.
Absolutely.
Otherwise,
yeah,
I'll meet you Friday.
This Friday night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this Friday night, after the performance, we're having a talk back as part of the Domestic Violence Awareness Month here on campus and, of course, across the country. So we have guests who are coming in to lead us through a talk back after the performance Friday night about domestic violence, which is certainly another part of the gun law issue.
Wow. It's actually a really interesting thing. One more quick question, which is, are you people taking this to, like, for example, the Mount Baker Theater, to other theaters?
Well, we've entered it into the Kennedy Center's American College Theater Festival, so there's a chance that it might get selected to go to the regional festival at Colorado State in February. And
good.
We have guests who are coming on closing on November 1st. Who are educators. So we're doing another talk back with our Wood Green College of Education and also bringing in some state educators to see who might be interested in taking the show to high schools for principals to see, superintendents to see, and students to see as well.
Well, I'm excited, as I already said, but the other thing I want to remind listeners that the quality of performance, this sounds like a nice community project, but the quality of acting, the performance that I've already seen a bit of anyway, was outrageously good. And I think you should be commended for that as well.
No, thank you. Our goal here at the Theater Department of Western Washington University is to be the primary undergraduate training program in the region. And we have some amazing students. They work their tails off, and they are, by the time they get to this level, they're contemporary-like professionals.
Super dedicated. Thank you, Rich Brown. I really appreciate it. And you're the professor of theater and dance. Is that the sufficient title?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very excited about your work, and thank you so much for all your service.
Thank you so much for your interest in having me.
Hello, welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Our paradigm is being shifted these days by students. It's called student activism. And I want to introduce you to a representative of HERETOO, H-E-R-E-T-O-O, at Western Washington University. That's HERETOO, www.WWU. And one of the major operators of this, and we'll take her exact title in a moment, is Becca Howe. Becca, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. And what is your title? Are you a director or an organizer or what?
No, I am a student company member.
Okay.
So I'm just one of the students who is part of the team that created the play here too.
Well, what is the play? Let's tell people what on earth you people are doing. Will you call this a slice or an aspect of student activism? Or so you go ahead and tell us about the play.
Definitely. So here too is a devised play that focuses on the gun violence epidemic in the United States and the youth activism that has sprung up as a result of it, because of the influence of school shootings that have become more and more frequent, and the increased need to focus on violence in marginalized communities that have to do with guns. So when we were making this play, we kind of made it a piece of activism ourselves, and we, as students who go to a university, taught ourselves kind of how to be student activists, because we had to learn all about gun violence and how it actually affects the country and the different people that it has affected, and how it's come about and why it's come about and what people are trying to do to stop it and how we can kind of plug into that activism that is already happening. And the biggest surprising thing that we found is that, well, I suppose it's not that surprising, but the majority of activism that is happening around gun violence and stopping it is done by either students or children, people who are in high school right now or even younger who are trying to stop gun violence from happening.
Okay, so let me ask you, I just want to divert just for a moment. Do you think actually stopping guns is the solution that you're after? Or what is the actual solution? What is it you're teaching us or helping us understand?
Our goal with the production is not to take away everybody's guns, but to impress upon people the importance of common sense gun legislations, which would mean something like universal background checks, which would require people to have to go through a mandatory process that checks their background before they could purchase a firearm, red flag laws, which are a piece of legislation that would allow family members or friends or people connected to someone to report any troubling behavior to law enforcement that would then allow the person that they are concerned about to go through due process, and if it was deemed necessary by law enforcement, if they posed a great threat to themselves or others, they could get their gun taken away as a way of ensuring the safety of themselves and others around them, which can apply to gun violence against other people, but also suicide by gun. So that's what we are really concerned about. We want people to know that there are things that can be done to stop gun violence from happening. Not necessarily taking away the right to own a gun, but not all types of guns, like assault weapons and high-capacity magazines and things that allow for mass shootings to happen and basically go unchecked.
Yeah, and the question about that is, why do we need that in a domestic situation? But so tell me this, those of you who are involved in the production, it sounds like you've had to do an awful lot of learning, a lot of education, a lot of kind of survey work. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. We started our process over the summer in August, where we did a couple of days where we just researched and we kind of divided and conquered. And people were assigned to learn about like local legislation versus federal legislation, about the different organizations that are actually like already existing in like local areas and like nationally, like March for Our Lives, or something local like Students for Action, which is a Bellingham organization. Mm-hmm. So we had to learn a lot about it. We kind of taught ourselves about like the history of gun violence and how the NRA factors into a lot of the legislation that we have and its influence and its power. And so in order to do the play, we couldn't just like pretend like we knew a lot. We had to actually know what we were talking about and have sources and provide those sources to people. So
because that's really controversial, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had to make sure that we knew what we were talking about and that it was coming from a place of knowledge, mm-hmm. Not just emotion, so that people would know that we are to be taken seriously. And the people who do activism in other senses, like with March for Our Lives, which was started by high schoolers, and all the different chapters, which are staffed by young people, they had to teach themselves how to understand the world that they were operating in. They had to teach themselves about legislation and lobbying and the way that you can talk to politicians and those kinds of things. Everyone who works on this issue has to teach themselves about it, and that's what they do. And wow. So that's a really big part of activism.
So how long has this particular phase of activism been going on? Has it been like a year, or did you say last August or something?
Yeah, so our branch of this project, we knew that Western was going to be hosting this project in our little corner of the United States at the beginning of last school year, so like in the middle of winter, like 2018, 2019, is when we knew about it because Rich Brown knows the members of Tectonic Theater Project, and this is the brainchild of two of the Tectonic Theater Project members, Barbara Fitz McAdams and Jimmy Mays.
Barbara worked hard on the Laramie Project, didn't she, some time ago?
Yes, she did. Yeah, she was one of the original cast members for that. Mm-hmm. And we used the moment work version, the method of devising that the Tectonic Theater Project uses to make this piece. So she connected with Rich and we had our summer theater program start the beginning of this project. So the first time that we as a company met was in May, and we had a workshop for like 2 days where we all got together and we kind of learned from Rich how to do the moment work method of creating like theatrical moments and putting them together. And like,
what is it called? It's called the moment method.
Moment work, mm-hmm. is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And Tectonic Theater Project, they wrote a book describing the method called Moment Work, and it's wonderful, and it's really informative. So we had to read
give
that.
Give us an example. Give us an example of that.
Of moment work.
Yeah, if you can. For example, okay. I watched the play that you put on, and apparently it wasn't the refined, mm-hmm. process, but I was shaken, yeah. and deeply touched, and there was no fancy setting, mm-hmm. no nothing. So I just want you to take a moment and bring people into it.
Yeah. So moment work is a method of devising theater, and devising is the act of like collaboratively making a play in a group of people, including performers and directors and designers and stuff like that. And moment work specifically works with moments, which are considered units of theatrical time, mm-hmm. where you focus on the different elements of the stage. And those can be anything from like light or sound to like tempo or relationship or danger or
So, for example, when I remember the play when you had sort of symbolic students were running around in the school. Was that a moment?
Yeah.
It's like there on the Stark stage, these people were running. And,
yeah.
And,
so that moment. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. You tell about it. It's very good.
Yeah. Yeah. That moment was something that we came up with like on its own. Like it was something that we developed in its own little like separate world, and then we string it together with the rest of the show. But that moment had elements of sound because there was like a bell noise. There was the element of movement and choreography and the element of text from Jackie Corin, who is one of the original founders of March for Our Lives.
And terror
were also involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And emotion is always a big element that like you don't think it's like, oh, well, obviously emotion is a part of theater, duh. But when you do moment work, you can kind of track the different elements and layer them together and see if you isolate them and focus on one, or you focus on a couple, or you see how many you can layer into one moment. It's a way of talking about and creating theater that can break it down into like conceivable elements. And then from there, when you make all of these moments, you can see how they fit together to make a play.
Wow.
So
and what blew my mind is that sitting in the audience, that moment was real in my body. You understand? I could feel that.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
I was so impressed because we all like theater, right? But I was super impressed that I had that sense of being in that trauma with the students. And it was not only many times, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. When you really understand like how to effectively use like elements of the stage, when you can understand them, it can make for really effective performances, because you as a human being know how like a moment affected you, and chances are an audience might also be affected in that same way. And so when you're really specific and deliberate with the elements of the stage that you use, you can make some really effective theater with it.
Mm-hmm. You're actually communicating that instantaneous reality through the audience, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was absolutely, I guess, mesmerized, logically mesmerized too. I was like, wow, look what they're doing. They're really bringing this to life. And the also interaction amongst the people, for example, when you would, or somebody said some words and said, these are not my words, these were the words of Alicia over here, but I'm speaking them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, however you said that, to me, that really tied into the news broadcast or something. You go ahead and explain it. You probably do it more artistically.
So when we were putting together this production, you know, we are college students, so we're not exactly the age of a lot of the people that we were portraying, because we were using real interview text from a lot of people that either did like in-person or Skype interviews with like members of the company and Barb Pitts McAdams. And so something that we kind of grappled with when we were making the show was, how do we respectfully and effectively represent these young activists who have a lot to say, who could, you know, be seen if someone were to like look them up on YouTube or look at their website, but people don't a lot of the time. They're not necessarily looking for it. So how do we respectfully amplify these ideas and these voices and these people,
bring them right into the picture,
trying to and how do we do that without capitalizing or exploiting the trauma that these people faced as really, really young people, as children, because we're not children anymore and we haven't had that kind of experience that a lot of them had, the traumatic experience of surviving gun violence or losing someone to gun violence is something that most of us can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that we grappled with, and we didn't want to play these people because they're not characters, they're real people mm-hmm. who've been through these traumatic experiences. And so as a company, we all wanted to kind of keep the acting portion of the play to a distance from us and separate the ideas and the words of these activists and their situations from us, because we couldn't necessarily fully enter into it as you would like a character in like a traditional play.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with the initializing form to say, I am not insert activist name here, but these are their words, so mm-hmm. that we could effectively, we could say the words and say them in a way that is not just like reading a piece of text, but is an effective reading of a piece of dramatic literature.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't be trying to get into the mindsets of these people who are their own people. So we wanted to have that degree of separation and have that respect for the fact that this is not stuff that we wrote. We didn't come up with this text. This is stuff that has been said to us or at protests or in speeches or in books, those in essays. So having some respect for the words that have been spoken and written by these actual people was mm-hmm. really, really important to us.
I love it. I think you're doing a great job. So going back to the goals, is when you're doing that mm-hmm. is you're bringing to life the actual trauma or the actual, mm-hmm. I guess, terror that really goes on with these things, and bringing it to life, mm-hmm. I think, probably leads to the goal that you're leading to, is people's awakening. You know, mm-hmm. I think there's something else too in this whole gun thing, is mental health. Did you ever talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
But that would be coming at it from the shooter's perspective.
Yeah, that was another thing that we had a lot of conversations about. We touched on it very briefly in the summer production, the workshop production that we did that you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And in this fall production that we are doing, where we've expanded on and changed some stuff and edited some stuff, we have a whole moment that is kind of addressing more directly the idea of how mental health factors into this. And what we found in our research, and a lot of people who talk about gun violence from like a psychological perspective and so on and so forth, is that the majority of people who are mentally ill are not violent and are actually more likely to be victims of violent behavior from other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the blaming of mental health as the root cause of mass shootings is almost a misnomer in a lot of senses.
That's interesting.
It certainly does. Yeah, it does factor in some cases, but what we found was actually consistent through line with a lot of mass shootings is social contagion, which is, and we have a whole moment about this in the play now, but it's the propensity for one behavior of a person to be copied and then displayed by another person. And this, it's kind of like a social phenomena. And we see this a lot with like online communities. So like chat rooms and forums and stuff like that, where people are sharing their ideas online and they can reach a whole lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been happening is that a lot of young people, young men, young white men specifically, have been introduced to and like radicalized with the ideas of both like white supremacy and violent misogyny, because there's these big online communities where adults are presenting these things as facts and as good things, and then young men will go onto these sites and they will learn these things and then adopt the principles and act out because of them. And also social contagion also factors in because of like media coverage and how we treat like the sensationalizing of mass shootings and how we sensationalize mass shooters themselves. And so there is the idea that mass shooters inspire more mass shooters because they get so much attention for doing it that someone who is feeling very disenfranchised but sees that someone who commits such an atrocity gets so much attention and almost fame could be driven to do something horrible as a reaction to that. So that's an interesting facet that is a lot more complicated than you might imagine, but it's becoming a big problem. And something that we talk about in that social contagion moment in the play is that after the recent shooting at Walmart in El Paso, Texas,
mm-hmm.
there was multiple people in that area who were going to, who were intending to commit another mass shooting. There were like 7 people, I believe it is. And police stopped them because they just got caught, essentially. But the mass shooting in that Walmart in Texas was specifically targeting Hispanic people. Mm-hmm. And many of the people who were intending to commit more violence in that area were also acting out of white supremacy as a motive. So,
So Becca, let me ask you a huge question, which you, of course, don't really have to answer perfectly. But what do you think, for example, the contagion, social contagion, what do you think is the solution for us to, let me see, I've heard the term critical thinking a lot, but I think there's another depth of thinking. I don't know. How do you see a solution to reach the goal of awakening people to the mass violence a possibility, mm-hmm. like the 7 potential shooters? How do we tune in well enough to know who's on the line, you know, who's dangerous that way? Defensively,
well,
how do we
say,
do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say that you have a responsibility as someone who, as just like a citizen, if you find behavior troubling to especially in young people, to correct it and find, this is a very complicated question, and find ways to impress upon those people that what they're doing is wrong and how it'll hurt people and how it is not the right way to go about getting what you want in life. I think especially with parents of young men,
mm-hmm.
It can be important to monitor the kind of content that they're intaking and know that there are young people who are getting radicalized into doing terrible things. And even if you might not suspect someone mm-hmm. of having those kind of intentions, being aware of the kind of language and the kind of like interactions that they're having and being a role model for young people in that way of,
it's kind of like saying to trust that young person, you have to have him mm-hmm. earn the trust, show you what he's doing with his critical thinking. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And engage in conversations about stuff like white supremacy and violent misogyny with a young person, because a lot of the time that's not necessarily something that is discussed with young people in a critical way. But, you know, teenagers and people even younger are smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're very smart people. They're not just kids. They'll actually intake the information that you give them. And then that's part of the problem, is that they're getting this input about the world and how it works from sources that have agendas that might not be so nice. I think it's important to be having conversations with young people as if they were able to critically think about the world and how it works and their relationship to other people and their relationship to the world, because they're smart and they are practically adults and they think in a lot of the same ways that adults do. And so being able to engage with teenagers who might be susceptible to radicalization because of what they are reading on the internet or hearing from their friends or whatever it may be, it is important that you are, as an older person, as someone who might be a role model for them or a parent or a loved one, having those kinds of conversations that might be difficult, where you discuss their relationship to the world and how the world works. But those kinds of conversations are really important in their development, because if you, as a role model that they know personally, are not having those conversations with them, they're susceptible to adults that have agendas. So
it's interesting because that means crossing the room in a way, and instead of being polite or respectful, you're saying go in and enter the conversation and see if you could make a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that also includes like engaging with young people who may not be like susceptible to radicalization in the way of becoming someone who commits gun violence, but also talking to everyone who has an opinion on the issue of gun violence. So there are so many young people who are working for and on gun violence activism. And that's the focus of our show for a reason, because these young people, these teenagers, are trying to have conversations and they're trying to start dialogues with adults, with politicians, with the media, these kinds of things. They are trying to get people to listen to them. And no matter who the kid is, if you're not taking their words seriously and their opinions seriously, they're going to try and find validation from other places, or they're just going to feel like their voice doesn't matter, but it does. And so on all aspects of this issue, listening to young people is what's really important, because that'll give you all the information you need to know.
Well, I guess we can all remember Greta Thunberg, who's right out there going around the world with her thing on climate change. So she made it through. And I guess you guys are, you're making a difference. You're making quite a large difference, I believe, not just in Western Washington, but in this movement that's going around the country.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing what people are doing around the world. And specifically in the United States about this issue.
That's exciting.
And it's very exciting. And in a lot of ways, you know, we are trying to amplify the voices of these young activists. But we cannot necessarily effectively represent all of the people or all of the opinions, all of the takes on this issue, because it is such a deep rooted issue in American culture, and it's so diverse in how it affects so many different people. And we as a company, you know, Bellingham is a really, it's a pretty small town comparatively to other places, and we don't have the same kind of issues of like gun violence in our community that you would in
New York,
like,
or
other communities like New York or Chicago, or even just places where it's more racially diverse. I mean, most of our company are white people, and so the way that like police violence affects us is very different than how it might affect someone who is engaging with this issue in a different part of the country. And so that is something that we can talk about and bring light to, but we cannot engage with it the same way that activists around the country are. And that's what I think is really important, is that we're listening to everyone. And, you know, we as a company are trying to do our best to create this piece, but it is so much bigger than us. And there's, you know, our show's 90 minutes and there's no way that we can cover everything.
But also, but Becca, I'm absolutely touched by the fact this is a deep educational process for all of you, isn't it? As you go through it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the most beneficial thing has been everything we've learned and everything that we are now plugged into. And that's what we want people who come to see the show to feel. We want them to feel like, I want to go out and engage with this. Not just, oh, that was really interesting and I learned a lot, but also now I have the tools to understand this issue better. Now I have the ability to argue a point with someone when we're having a conversation about this, or go out and become one of these conversations.
So it's a becoming business. I'm going to have to say goodbye right now, except that I would like you to finish up, and I don't want to interrupt you, but I have to. And I want to tell people how to get to the play, at least the one that's coming up in Bellingham, because they'll hear about it in other places as well as it goes around the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are doing Here to WW as a part of our main stage season at Western Washington University in Bellingham, Washington. And you can see the shows October 24th, 25th, and 26th, and October 30th, 31st, and November 1st and 2nd. And tickets are available online at the Western Washington University Performing Arts Center box office website. Yeah.
And what's your website again? Tell people what your website is again.
So our website is www.heretoo.weebly.com.
Weebly? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, I'm very, very pleased to be speaking with you and would like to tune in again as you keep, creating your productions and influencing communities. I'd love to hear more about it. Thank you, Becca.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Becca Howe.
Have a good one.
Thank you, too.